So, welcome everyone. Great to see you all here, and looking forward to this day together of effortless mindfulness. And so, how many people have practiced deliberate mindlessness? Okay, so we know that one. It's a good starting point. So now we're just going to figure out what this effortless mindfulness is. Yeah. So just to say a little bit, what we'll do today is just to learn how to shift our awareness, yeah, from a kind of a small separate sense of self into this awareness that's already effortlessly aware without our help. So that is the premise. This is the possibility that there is a kind of flow consciousness, an awakeness that's embodied and feels interconnected, that's already here within each of us, and that we miss it primarily because we're looking from it. Yeah, so we're looking from it, and then we organize our looker through looking to thought, and then the thought creates a thinker, and the thinker looks at objects as experiences inside and outside. And then we even develop a kind of more precise attentive ability from that small looker to look inside, to look outside, to function, to do things in the world. And then, so what we're going to do is we're going to open our awareness, drop into this more primary dimension called effortless mindfulness or awake awareness, and then see if we can include everything and begin to walk and talk in a way that is natural and still and joyful. Now, the thing is that that you have all done this in your life for moments. And it's often called a flow state, or it's called flow consciousness. In fact, if you really consider what you do in your free time for fun, you do something that you drop out of this self-referencing part of your mind, and you drop into your body, you connect to nature, other people, and to your body in movement. Yeah? Does that make sense? So let's hear a couple things that people do that makes you feel. So like if you're walking in nature or something, you would, let's say you take a cab or get in a car, and then you get to the nature and you're kind of walking like this, and then you walk into the trees, and as soon as you walk into the trees, then all of a sudden, now you're walking, and something drops and connects, and then you feel connected, open-hearted, more spacious. Yeah? And everyone have a sense of that movement that kind of happens through an activity? Yeah, so what are some of the activities that you guys do? Yeah. Dancing. Singing. Bicycling. Feeding her cat. Playing the violin. Painting. Performing. Barrel-free diving and floating. Yeah. Those two things, yeah, barrel-free diving and floating, yeah. So this sense that we have this natural awake consciousness that isn't mentally noting and labeling, but actually is functioning from what has been called flow, which has these qualities of being in the now, of not referencing thought to do something at a high level, like play the violin, of feeling when you're playing the violin and connected to other people, that there's a connectivity to everyone, that there's a sense of mastery, that you're able to kind of do something that you know how to do easily, you know it by heart, and you enter it through usually one activity or one doorway. So some people who enter it through playing the violin, other people don't play the violin, so can't enter it that way. But the premise is that it isn't reliant on the activity. It isn't even reliant on meditation or yoga, that you have found a way to shift your awareness from this small separate sense of self into a more embodied, interconnected, open, awake glimpse that you love. And you do these activities in order to not just experience the state, but the premise is that you do this to experience who you truly are. So what a glimpse is, which is what we'll be playing with, is a shift of knowing and a shift of identity. It's not a meditation state. It's actually a return home to your essential awake nature. And so this is really, in many ways, what these wisdom traditions are about. They're not just about stress management. They're about awakening. And so this is what we're going to explore today, with the premise that from this tradition that I happened to bump into by good fortune early on, premise is that the awakeness that we're seeking, the freedom, the love, the joy, is already inherent within each of us, already pre-installed. And it's just simply covered over by another pattern that we take to be who we are. And in fact, by trying harder to find it, we create more of a mess. We get smarter and faster, and then create more of an obstacle, an obscuration that keeps us from dropping, simply dropping and relaxing back to notice the awareness that's already aware. It's like an ocean of awareness looking through and connected, and is simply quiet and has the potential to do from being rather than from a small self-referencing point of view. Yeah? So the simple so why haven't we noticed this awareness, this effortless mindfulness, this awake awareness? So in one of the traditions in Tibetan Buddhism, they say there's four reasons why. First is that it's so close, we can't see it. Yeah, the awareness is so close that we're actually looking from it. So it's closer than our own breath, and we're looking out at objects, at experiences. The second one is it's so subtle, we can't know it. So it's so non-conceptual, it's not made of thought, it's not a thing. So we're trying to know it, we're trying to do it, we're trying to become it. But we can't recognize it because it's not a thing. So subtle, it's so invisible, it's so simple. And then the third one is, it's so simple, we can't believe it. We can't believe that that's really the primary thing that all wisdom traditions are pointing to. That it's not the fireworks and the big trippy effects. It's really this simple freedom from suffering. and this ability to feel this open-hearted awareness that's interconnected and able to live this life. And the fourth reason is it's, when we discover it, it's so good, we can't accept it. It's so good that we can't accept it's us. It's so good we can't accept this is who I've been underneath all the fear and the worry and the feeling of being unlovable or not good enough for what I thought was all this mishigash, which is a Tibetan, New York Tibetan word. Translated a couple times into other languages. But so good that we can't accept it. So we're going to see how simple it is, how close it is, how non-conceptual it is, and how good it is. And the particular one, how close it is, but then how we can't use thought to know it. How we can't use effort to hold it. How the small sense of self doesn't grow up into be an awakened self. That it requires letting go into this which is already awake, loving, naturally, and here. So the sense is that this this wisdom tradition is now being corroborated by neuroscience and by psychology as being the most optimal way of living, the possibility of not living from an anxious or depressed adult self. That it, in some ways, in order to really grow up, you have to wake up in order to be happy, to be fully embodied, emotional human being. Because the small ego center, the small separate self, can't even bear a fully emotional life. Once, if you're a sensitive human being, this small, organizing, smart, psychological self can't handle a life of full love and joy and connection and grief and aliveness. That it requires upgrading to this new, fortunately already pre-installed operating system. So that's our upgrade possibility for today. So the simple thing we're doing is just shifting the current way of organizing perception to a more open, natural, direct perception that doesn't go through thought as the intermediary, but goes directly to this awareness. And then we're shifting knowing from conceptual knowing to awareness-based knowing. And then we're shifting our felt sense of identity from a small, little, mini-me that feels like it's in the middle of our head looking out of these peepholes of our eyes. Anyone feel that as they're listening to me? So we're often so much looking from that at our breath, at objects, that we don't feel, well, where am I located? Where am I looking from? Yeah, so just start with that feeling. What do you notice? Where are you listening from? Where is the hearer? Where is the looker? Where is the knower? Is there looking without a looker? Or is there this continual habit of creating this small ego center? Yeah, does it feel for most people like it's located? Okay, you have to look, yeah. It's a felt sense. So all of this is all about experiential feeling. The knowing that we're talking about is experiential feeling. It's not an intellectual process. So if we notice that thought is going to thought, and thought's going to emotion and sensation, and creating this feeling that we've now philosophically even say, ah, yes, I think, therefore I am. This is one of the errors of awakening. This is one of the things that keeps us located. Because in Buddhism, thinking is considered the sixth sense. So it's one of the senses, five senses that we all know, and then thinking is the sixth organizing sense. And then what do they all appear to? They don't appear to a thinker. All the senses appear to what we're going to discover today. Awareness-based, open-hearted, spacious, pervasive, interconnected feeling of no self, self, or no self, true nature, or being. It doesn't feel located here, doesn't feel that thought is its way of knowing, that thought is a tool, that from this awake consciousness, you can move your hand and put it down, you can use thought and put it down, and then the baseline is peace of mind, is quiet with automatic thoughts going by and just learning how to not get on the train of thoughts, of automatic thoughts, which are the same. 85% of automatic thoughts are the same every day. They're just mental sensations going by. And there's this awake intelligence called nature of mind. In Tibetan, it's called the Rigpa. Called the Tao. It's called flow consciousness. It's called Turiya in Hinduism, Advaita. But it's a natural, awake consciousness. So in that one system of Hindu philosophy, they have four natural states. Everyday mind, which is thinking mind, sleep, daydream or dream, and awake awareness. Those are the four natural states. I think we missed one in our college education, right? We know sleep, we know thinking, everyday consciousness, we know dream and daydream. Awake awareness is just one of those natural states. Let's get to know that and then include everything else from there. So that's the premise, that this is the wisdom consciousness, little hidden gem. There's a text from Taoism called The Secret of the Golden Flower. Yeah? As soon as you read that title, you want to say, okay, let's turn and find out what the secret is, right? Skip all the rest of the stuff. What page is the secret on? Right? Secret of the Golden Flower. Where is it? It's the secret. So the secret is turn the light of awareness around to find the sublime truth. So in other words, it's going from being so identified with awareness in the background, creating a thinker, using a flashlight to look in, flashlight to look out, flashlight to look in, flashlight to look out. And then if we look behind the camera or rest back and down to that which is aware and make that the subject and the object, until we discover that awareness is always already aware without our help. And then, like surfing the silence, we're aware from that awareness, which is arising as space within us and an alive space and awake, interconnected energy outside. So that, not only deconstructing the self, not stopping at just no self, but literally going to the new solution of the awake, embodied, interconnected, open-hearted heart-mind. So that's kind of the unique thing about this direct practice that we're going to explore of effortless mindfulness. We're not going to gradually just deconstruct and hang out in the gap or in the absence. We're going to go into that which is already aware, interconnected, and what's called ordinary mind in Zen. Simple, awake, loving. So this is kind of the, you know, and as the neuroscientists say, the brain is a symphony, but no conductor can be found. Yeah, so there isn't a center of a small little separate self in your brain that's looking out. There's no center, there's no place. It's a symphony. And can you get used to this more spacious, pervasive symphony of life that can still choose and do and relate and create rather than keeping to form this small judge and commentator and fast moving one that's scanning for danger and preparing for worst case scenarios. I don't know if anyone identifies with that one. So that's what's happened in our kind of evolution of consciousness. We have the normal mammal consciousness, but then we've added this very smart self, what's called self-awareness or observing ego, that it's become almost, it's reached its limit. It's like, what is it called, the Peter Principle? It's been given a job to a level beyond what it's capable of doing. It's doing its maximum job. It can't function any longer in this modern world. It's too smart for its own good. It's reached its limit. So we're fortunately able to draw on wisdom traditions and neuroscience and psychology to say there's another option. This awake consciousness. And then many of us are now discovering that there's an option to access this, that it's learnable and teachable in the middle of everyday life. But you don't have to go off to a monastery. You don't have to live in a cave. You don't have to become an Olympic athlete of meditation. That through small glimpses many times, you can access this and retrain your whole neuronal network to learn to live and live a life of open-hearted, joyous, non-worry, non-fear, and non-shame. It's with any worries, with any fear, and with any shame that arises from this new embracing capacity. So the way we proceed is that's the theory, that's the hypothesis. Nothing needs to be believed, but this is the reports from the wise gals and wise guys of the ancient world and the modern neuroscientists and psychotherapists. And then what we'll do is we'll just clarify that makes some sense, just as a kind of impressionistic map, that there's this awakeness, it's already here, we're going to shift to be aware of it. We don't have to look from this small sense of self, we're going to open to feel this other awareness-based, embodied, open-hearted knowing. We'll be aware of it and then aware from it. And by doing small glimpses of that, it starts to retrain your brain to remain. So don't refrain. Try a rap maybe later. But that sense of, So that's the premise, that's the theory, that's the hypothesis. Anybody want to, and then we'll start to do, and then what we do is a set of experiments, and then you guys report the results of what's true.